Jesus looked down on the city. He saw police with tactical gear and guns to help keep the peace. He saw a protester with an AR-15 to help keep the peace. And Jesus sobbed and said, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace."
That's the Reverend Dr. Doc Hollingsworth, and today he brings you a powerful Palm Sunday message called Dominus Flevit. I'm Peter Wallace. It's day one.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Dr. Doc Hollingsworth, senior pastor of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Before accepting the call to Second Ponce nearly 9 years ago, Doc had an 18-year career with Mercer University, serving at Mercer's McAfee School of Theology as assistant dean and assistant professor of leadership. Doc earned his undergraduate and doctoral degrees from Mercer University in Macon, Georgia, and received his Master of Divinity degree from the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Earlier, he served churches in North Carolina and Georgia. Doc, welcome to Day One.
Thank you.
You were last with us just a few months ago, last December, and it's kind of amazing how much can change in that amount of time and how much stays the same. But what are some of the issues you're dealing with now as senior pastor about the work and ministry of the church?
Well, I wish the virus had not stayed the same.
Right.
We're into this far too long. But one of the things that's changing is trying to understand what our technology responses are to a new world where communication has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of the conversation, how to include a church that's not in the room.
You've been for many years on a local cable channel, but you're talking online, internet, and so forth.
Right. And we had already gone to live streaming,
mm-hmm.
but it shifted. When we were doing live streaming before, people were kind of looking in on the service that we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's shifted to where the camera is a part of the service. We're trying to include the remote worshiper, not just treat the remote worshiper as somebody who's looking in.
Mm-hmm.
And that shift has been challenging.
Mm-hmm. The campus of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church is impressive with four buildings, including what is now called the Community Wellness Center. Why is that a vital part of the ministry of Second Ponce?
Well, we did just recently change the name to include community because
mm-hmm.
the former name didn't indicate in any way that we intended to be
mm-hmm.
a resource for people beyond our congregation. But it does function as a 5 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock in the evening wellness center, indoor swimming pool,
mm-hmm.
basketball courts, and all the rest for the community to enjoy. It was first built in hopes that it would be a front door to the congregation,
mm-hmm.
to being part of the congregation. It never really realized that dream, but it has created so much goodwill in the community.
Mm-hmm.
As one of our members says, we want to be the house on the block where the other kids want to come and play.
That's great.
And so it does help us in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Second Ponce has also had a preschool program for many years, housed in one of the other buildings, but soon that is about to change. Share the story about how the forthcoming change came about.
This has been such an important and good story of the last year. Our neighbors next door, Christ the King, is the Atlanta Catholic Cathedral, and
mm-hmm.
they run a school, elementary and high school there, that is just thriving,
mm-hmm.
wait list and all the rest. But they're landlocked, and they were never able to expand into a preschool program. And our preschool has a wonderful legacy.
Mm-hmm.
It was not thriving as much as Christ the King's program was,
mm-hmm.
and so many of our preschoolers were younger siblings of the Christ the King students. Anyway, My friend Monsignor McNamee and I got together and discussed this, and a year later, we came up with a really fun and creative solution where our space is being used for their preschool. Mm. It is now Christ the King Preschool at Second Pots.
Yeah. It seems to me that in this new day, relationships like you have had with the Roman Catholic Cathedral across East Wesley from Second Pots are becoming more important. What do you think?
Well, it's been important for me. My second week here, and as you mentioned, it was 9 years ago almost, Monsignor McNamee sent a peace lily to my office and welcomed me to the neighborhood. It started an important friendship, just collaborating about what it means to do ministry in this part of Atlanta. But out of that friendship, we ended up doing shared ministry. And I hope this is happening in more places because it's been a model that's been really helpful for both of us and an important friendship.
Yeah. So this is Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And then I understand you are off on a sabbatical. What will you be up to?
Yes, I am. 3 years in the making. This was scheduled for two summers ago. The pandemic moved it to last summer and now to this summer. 8 week sabbatical, 5 of those weeks in Europe. And my wife and I have never traveled to Europe, so this will be a wonderful time for us to be together, but also a time to get retreat and think about this next season of ministry and leadership at Second Pots.
So this is Palm Sunday, also called Passion Sunday, and we move into Holy Week. How will Second Pots observe this special week in these challenging times?
This is another wonderful ecumenical tradition that I inherited. There are 5 churches, including Christ the King, 5 Buckhead churches that traditionally do the Good Friday service together, which is wonderful. All 5 ministers share the pulpit area, but the preacher each week is never the host pastor. So we are in somebody else's tradition with somebody else preaching. It's been a great tradition that I hope the pandemic will allow us to continue this year. But besides our own Holy Week emphases, that Good Friday service is a real highlight for the community.
Your sermon focuses on the gospel reading from Luke chapter 19. Would you read it for us?
Sure. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.' As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes.'"
Doc, you've titled your sermon Dominus Flevit, and I don't believe we've ever had a sermon title in Latin. My Latin is a little rusty, so what does that mean, and why have you decided to focus on that aspect of the story?
My Latin is a lot rusty. it was an interesting part of my reading preparation for this sermon to learn of a chapel by that name that's on the Mount of Olives that intends to commemorate the place where Jesus wept over the city. And the small Catholic chapel is shaped in the shape of a teardrop. Mm. And I just found that to be an interesting side note to the sermon and thought to include it.
Well, Doc, we look forward to learning more about all this in your sermon, Dominus Flevit. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you. If you're listening to Day One, then chances are you know that Jesus told a story about a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and that guy got beaten up badly and robbed roadside. Well, in today's story, maybe Jesus is trying to reverse the theme of street violence by traveling in the other direction. In the 19th chapter of Luke, Jesus is traveling the other way from Jericho to Jerusalem. As you know, Luke is structured as a travelogue, and the story moves as Jesus moves. And the Luke journey is traipsing to Jerusalem. It all moves toward a cross and an empty tomb. Theologian Martin Kaler famously described a gospel as a passion narrative with an extended introduction. The movement in Luke's gospel is taking us to the passion, to Jerusalem, and the events of the last week. Now, on the Sunday before Easter, Holy Week upon us, and Jesus has not quite gotten there. Jericho to Jerusalem is 22 miles, so it's a good haul by foot. And by the time of our story in chapter 19, Jesus has traveled about 20 of those miles and made his way to the Mount of Olives, to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany, which sit about a mile and a half outside Jerusalem. Bethany, the city means house of the poor or house of the afflicted. Maybe it should be no surprise that a man fell among thieves in Jesus' story. Until somebody takes care of the poor people in Bethany, I guess we're going to have this problem. Two political answers, really. Some want elected officials who will bring social programs to Bethany and take care of the poverty. Others want more police officers, a bigger police presence on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. That will keep the robbers at bay. New leadership, that's what we need. New power in government will change everything. We will have peace at last. It is the cry of every election. Anyway, Jesus has gotten to within about a mile and a half of journey's end, and Jesus sends two disciples into one of the nearby towns for a colt. Some of the disciples threw their cloaks on the colt, making a makeshift saddle, and Jesus begins the triumphal journey down the Mount of Olives into this last stretch of the salvation journey. Did I mention that folks were eager for new leadership? New power in government will change everything. Roman Emperor Tiberius was on the throne, and his governor Pontius Pilate exacted Roman rule over all of Judea. And the Jewish people were just tired of being outsiders to the power. In the land that was promised to Abraham and his descendants, they were subjects of Rome, which was utterly humiliating. New government leadership will change this situation. That was the chant, the bedtime story. One day God will send Messiah, the Savior, and when he takes the throne, it will be a good day for us. New power in government will change everything. We will have peace at last. And so, as Jesus makes his way down the path from the Mount of Olives, a frenzied crowd of hopefuls praised God and anticipated their deliverance. They shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Jesus continues along the road from high atop the Mount of Olives. His pitiful colt galumps along the trail until he turns a corner and sees, down below, the beautiful Jerusalem. And when Jesus sees the city, he cries. He cries. There is today a Catholic chapel on the hillside where Jesus is supposed to have stopped the colt and cried. The church is formed in the shape of a teardrop, and the name of the church is Dominus Flavit, Latin for "The Lord Weeps." The city he sees below is a broken city. There are excluded Jews and Roman soldiers brandishing weapons. There are beggars at the city gates in the shadows of palaces. Violence and threat and shadow and deceit. He's just left Bethany, the house of the poor, the house of the afflicted, and he looks down into the threat of another torn community, chasing political power and campaign promises and hoped-for government change. And Jesus sobs and cries some more. He finally wipes his face on his sleeve and says, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." This is the tragedy of a frothed-up crowd expecting a new regime, sword-bearing, take-over-the-throne kind of king. The tragedy is that they think that new power in government will change everything. We will have peace at last. I live in Atlanta, where in the summer of 2020, race riots broke out in response to police violence. Rayshard Brooks was shot and killed by an Atlanta police officer after being stopped for a DUI. After a struggle, Brooks was shot from behind after taking an officer's taser during the fight and pointing it at him as he ran away. Later, protesters, in response to the violent death of Mr. Brooks, burned down the Wendy's restaurant where Rayshard Brooks was killed. Critics accuse city leaders of letting the situation get out of hand. "New power in government will change everything. We will have peace at last," or something like that. One of the protesters, Nuke Stevenson, I'm not making this up, his name is Nuke. 25 years old, he brought an AR-15 just in case of a confrontation between marchers and the police. The newspaper quoted him as saying, "Force is often used unjustly against our side. This isn't meant as a show of aggression. My goal is to help keep the peace." And Jesus looked down on the city. He saw police with tactical gear and guns to help keep the peace. He saw a protester with an AR-15 to help keep the peace. And Jesus sobbed and said, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace." Because on that day, the man riding a colt, not a war stallion, galumphed his way into the city limits of Jerusalem amid the frenzy of people who thought they finally got the right government, the right politic, the right king, and the Prince of Peace cried and said, "You don't get it." Across the ages, from Pontius Pilate to the current U.S. President, Governor of Georgia, Mayor of Atlanta, The crowds are still frenzied and insistent that the right new power in government will change everything. We will have peace at last. The answer is not found in buildings where flags fly, but in buildings with steeples. Jesus did come to bring a new rule, but his strength is not positioned on the corner with a Kevlar vest and ammo. Until his rule happens in the lives of individuals, peace will evade us all. Racial conflict is not a social problem. Racial discord is a spiritual problem. It is the failure to see every human as made in the image of God. Violence is an outward expression of an inward reality. Our outside world mirrors our spiritual condition. The Prince of Peace has come to upend the structures and parties and powers that take by force. Jesus does not enter the city on a war stallion, but on a colt. His new kingdom is alive in the hearts of people who search for Christ's peace, first within their own souls, so that they may be agents of that peace in the world. The news outlets will offer us 24-hour coverage of the next elections. City, state, and nation, we will put bumper stickers on our cars and lose friendships based on which candidates we lay palm branches before, and the frenzy will start all again, insisting that the right government will change everything. But last week, when I baptized an 11-year-old boy, was when the cause of peace took its biggest step forward. He came up wet from baptism, declaring that he wants to follow the man on the colt.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Dr. Doc Hollingsworth, senior pastor of Second Ponce de Leon Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. For a free transcript of his sermon for Palm Sunday, Dominus Flevit, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Please keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial gifts of faithful listeners like you. We're grateful for your help. This is Peter Wallace. Next week on Day One, as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, we're pleased to have with us the Reverend Dr. L. Gregory Jones, president of Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee, and formerly the dean of Duke University Divinity School. Don't miss his powerful sermon titled Living Easter Hope. Next week on Day One. If you're a preacher, you'll enjoy experiencing the Festival of Homiletics, the premier preaching conference. The 2022 festival will be May 16th through 20th, in person in Denver, Colorado, or you can view free live streaming sessions online. Over these 5 days of sermons, lectures, workshops, and worship, an amazing lineup of church leaders will focus on the theme, After the Storm, Preaching and Trauma. It's all designed to inspire you to be a more effective preacher of God's Word in these challenging days. For more information or to register for this life-changing conference, go to festivalofhomiletics.com. That's festivalofhomiletics.com.
Now, our Day One preacher, Doc Hollingsworth, offers some final thoughts on his sermon today, Dominus Flevit. And Doc, you helped us see how relevant what was happening 2,000 years ago as Jesus made his way to Jerusalem can be to our own experience today. The people were yearning for new leadership. New power in government will change everything and we will have peace at last, they thought. And the people cheer as Jesus the Messiah, certainly the coming change maker, makes his way down the path from the Mount of Olives on a colt. But Jesus sees the city before him and he weeps. Dominus Flevit. He sees a broken city with many problems. I'm wondering, with a little holy imagination, how do you think Jesus would feel if he were to gaze down on Atlanta or Dallas or Washington or New York today?
Well, that was exactly the motivation in the sermon. Mm-hmm. Was the aha for me was the timelessness, yes, of a crowd wanting new government leadership so there would be peace. And since then, every kind of government leadership, every party has had a shot at it. So, yeah, I think Jesus is going to weep still, mm-hmm, at the divisions and the violence. And as I said, I don't think the answer is found in a political party. I think it's found in changed hearts, which is, mm-hmm, what we're about.
Well, I like how you put it. You told us that the answer is not found in buildings where flags fly, but in buildings with steeples. Jesus did come to bring new rule, you said, but not with Kevlar vests and ammo. Until his rule happens in the lives of individuals, peace will evade us all. So how do we find that peace in our souls in Christ so that we can be agents of peace in the world?
That question in some form is my daily question. Mm. I mourn in this city that the churches have become less relevant to the civic conversation. Mm-hmm. And because I am so convinced that the answer to our social and civic problems is a changed heart, a changed person. Mm-hmm. And that's the work we traffic in. And the fact that the church is not seen as a central part of the answer in ways that I think it was in earlier times, at, mm-hmm, least in Atlanta, mm-hmm, is sad for me.
Yeah. Doc, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
I would like for folks to have a sense of urgency about what changed lives does mean. Mm. And part of the contrast for me in this was how much airtime and how much attention given to every electoral minutia when so little attention is given to what really does change the culture, mm-hmm, which is people's lives redeemed in a way that they see each other as made in the image of God.
Mm. Amen. Doc Hollingsworth, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.